Sounds like it's working. Hopefully it saves. Okay, we are on Tezion Ummid Base on 16B. We actually got pretty far down. We actually finished over 50% of the Ummid already. So we are up to the words Amar Rafhista, Amar Avimi. It is somewhere between halfway to three quarters the way down. Okay, so we're looking for Amar Rafhista, Amar Avimi. Let me know when you have found it. It's definitely not in the first section of the art scroll, if I had to assume. It's at least section number two. I think so. I would imagine section number two. Maybe even beginning section number three. Who knows?
Right by the olive.
Right by the Aleph?
It's an olive.
There's an Aleph. Is this to the second? No.
In the tent.
There's no Aleph in my. I mean, I have
No.
Aleph spelling Umar. Oh. Oh, interesting. I don't know. Okay. Machatzelis. Yeah, one line up. One line up. Yeah, got it. Okay, so here we go. Amar Rafhista, Amar Avimi. So just a reminder, two very important concepts for us to keep in mind that we keep reiterating, but it's good to review because our whole discussion tonight is based on understanding these two ideas. Actually, three ideas. Lavud. Lavud is when anything is within proximity of less than three tefachim to something else. They are considered to be adjoining each other. They are connected. They're contiguous from a halachic standpoint. So you have a fence with bars that are right near each other. They are contiguous. There is no gap for halachic purposes. The next
Moshe, what page are we on?
16B, Tezaim Beis, a little
16B.
down.
Okay.
Amar Rav Chis Amar Avimi, that's where we're up to. A line up from the Aleph, yes. That's number one. One is love. The second is Dofen Akuma. Dofen Akuma is the bending wall, in which if you have non-kosher snach at the edge of your sukkah, you have up until four amos of it, we just view it as if the wall is bending over, and the non-kosher snach will not be problematic. So that's number two. Number three is what we learned previously also, that there's a debate in our Mishnah. If let's say, what's the shear for a wall? So shear for a dofen is 10 tefachim. So what if your 10 tefachim are just suspended in midair? Would we say good achis that they come down and they enclose the area? So those are the three things that we just have to remember. If we remember those, the Gemara, God willing, should flow relatively smoothly. Okay, I was wondering that was. It's like a flame on them. You put a flame out? Okay, that was supposed to be. Okay, making sure. Then spontaneously combust. Amar Rachis Amar Avini, Machzelis Arba Umashihu, Materis Basuk Mishim Dofen. So if you have a this mat which is four tefachim and a little bit more hanging as a wall for your sukkah, so it will be machshir, it will render the sukkah kosher. Even though it's only four tefachim, a little over four tefachim. Wait a minute, how could a wall that's a little over four tefachim be a kosher wall? I thought we needed a 10 tefach wall. So how's it work? Hechi Ovid. Tali le be'emsa. So let's say your schach is 10 tefachim off the ground. And what you basically do is you hang it in a way that it's pachos mishlosha lamata, upachos mishlosha lamala. So Erwin points out that there are pictures that you can see. I got pictures of mine as well. Yes. So Erwin points out the article provides pictures as well. It's the picture Erwin's showing me in the bottom left corner that you can see, in which there is a wall suspended in midair. It's less than three tefachim to the schach, less than three tefachim to the ground. And as we said, the magic of Lavud is that it doesn't only say that two points, two areas are connected, but it actually fills in the gap. It doesn't just say that this four tefach, four plus tefach wall is connected to the ground schach, but we imagine as if the space between the wall and the schach and the ground is no longer an air gap, but actually is filled in. Such is the magic of Lavud that it doesn't only close the gap, it fills the gap. I think that was a good formulation, actually. Bang myself on the back there. Okay. But the question is, Pshita, we covered this many times. We know what Lavud is already. We've mentioned it ad nauseum. So what's the Chiddush here? So I would think, I only knew at this point that you can use Lavud once. How do I know that I can use lavud multiple times over to make a kosher sukkah? So that's the chiddush, that you can use lavud more than once. It's replenishable. You can use it as many times as you want, so long as you're abiding by the general principle. Meisvei, but is this true that you could suspend a wall in midair and use lavud twice? We have another brisa which seemingly contradicts this. Machzelas shiva umashu materis besuk mishum dofen. There's a brisa that says not a 4+ tefach, but you need a 7+ tefach wool in order to be mashed to sukkah. Now, assuming we're talking about a 10 tefach sukkah, the assumption here is that a 7+ tefach wool works because you're only utilizing lavud once, right? Lavud would fill in the under 3 tefachim that are left. It sounds like from here that you can't use lavud twice. What? Which is also pictured in the art scroll, Irwin. So kitanya hahiba sukka gedola. So rather, what's this brisa referring to? It's referring to when there's a very large sukkah. Umay kamash malan, and what's it teaching us? The mishalshon deponos malan lamatik Rebbe Yossi, that what you can do is basically teaching us the principle of good achis. That as long, basically, what you're doing is that you're suspending it near the schach. You use lavud to fill the gap between the 7+ tefachim, right? So 7.1 tefachim and then 2.9 tefachim of air. They combine together and they form a wall of 10 tefachim. And then the sukkah could be 19.99 amos tall. And then we say good achis, and thereby it closes the gap and you have a kosher sukkah. So the chiddush is that we say a suspended wall that has the shear of a wall can actually constitute a full dofen for the purpose of sukkah. Okay, let me pause. Anything I could clarify at this point? Well, okay. Tosos wants to clarify something for us. So if you want to glance at Tosos, Dibor Hamaskel toward the bottom, Mao the Tema Chalav and Amrinan, Trail of Elo Amrinan. So Tosos is asking, what is this Havamina that, you know, why would the Gemara even think in the beginning that there'd be an issue of using lava twice? We already dealt with this. If you remember all the way back on 7a on Zionim and Aleph, Kone Kona Pagus Misholcha, the Dofen Sukkah, Kedofen Shabbos. We established that the walls of a Sukkah are similar in certain ways to the walls of how you make walls on Shabbos. So on Shabbos, in order to enclose Rishus HaYachid or some area, you can use strings and make sure that they're all within 3 tefachim of each other, and then it creates a 10 tefach wall. So we've already established this on Zion Amud Aleph, because what are you essentially doing when you make those strings? You're using lavud from one string, lavud to the other string, lavud to the schach. So you're using lavud multiple times. We've already established this. We shouldn't be acting all surprised that you can use lavud more than once. So what was the Havamina? What was the Gemara even questioning that you would think that lava couldn't work in the first place more than once? So Tosa says, Shemasaka daitak machach bin shesi le'erev. So generally when you are making a sukkah, oh, welcome Phyllis. Generally when you're making a sukkah, so you have actually this is how we refer to a cross in rabbinic literature also. So you basically, when you're weaving something, there's the string that goes down and the string that weaves in on the side. And that is the Shesi and the Erev. You need help finding the mute on there? Okay. All right. Good to have you with us, Phyllis. Hey, you want me to help you with that? All right. Very good. No, you didn't? Here, just pass it over. That's all good. It's hard for me to hear myself multiple times. I have to live myself already, right? All right.
You have another phone?
Yes. Ooh. All right. Okay. So we're in Tosos on Tez Zayin Mabez right now. But we'll return back to the Gemara in just a moment. Not to worry. You'll just hear us Torah Shabbat Pat. So Tosos says, right, you might think, what would the Havamina be? The Havamina was, maybe you need vertical and horizontal strings. It wouldn't be sufficient without that. So the Ein Lahakshos, the Tiski, the Tisagi, B'Shnei Chavam, She'obi, Nesim, Tefav, Marina, Lovin, Kadeshkin, B'Parakama, the Ervin, the Makidim, B'Shal, She'chavam, B'Hocha, B'Shnei Tisagi. Now, you might also still think that, wait a minute, isn't this obvious? Because we learned in Meseches Ervin that in Hilchos Shabbos, again, you don't need both Chesi and Erev. We could suffice with just one with just the Erev, and that would be sufficient. So there, it's not such an obvious premise that we can infer from there as a model that you can suffice without Shasiva Erev, because Hamrina Hasim Bil Hatira Abishayar. There it's talking about they were in their caravans, they were traveling, and there was extenuating circumstances. But who's to say a lichachila you're allowed to make a sukkah such a way? Therefore, it comes along our Gemara and teaches us that you can use lovet multiple times over, whether it's chassis or whether it's erev, it doesn't matter. That's what Tosis wants to suggest. Okay, take it or leave it. Back into the Gemara, we are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of 16b at Tet Simon Beis. Amar Rebbe Ami. So in the previous passage of the Gemara, we were discussing how lavud could be used to complete the requisite height of the sukkah. Now we're going to be using lavud to fulfill the requisite width and length of the sukkah. So the other two dimensions. Amar Rebbe Ami, and again, I would presume it's pictured inside your Gemaras as well. Amar Rebbe Ami, pas arba umashu. Matir besukkah mishum dofen. So umukim leva pachus mishosha tfachim some of the dofen. Well, pachus mishosha some of the dofen. Love it, dummy. So what's going on here? If you have a board that is 4.1 tfachim, you can use it to fulfill the 7x7 tefach requirement for a kosher sukkah. How so? So we said if you basically take this 4.1 right 2.9 tfachim of airspace. Then 4.1 tefachim of actual wall. Again, the way the mechanics of it work is that it doesn't just close the gap, it fills the gap. So therefore, that gives you a nice 7-tefach wall. Okay, but again, the Gemara asks, "My kamashmalon." Well, this is a very nice chazar shir shkoyach, but we learned these halachos already. And if you don't believe, you know, if we're forgetting, it's a good chazar, but still. We know this already. We've already established this. So a kamash v'lon, the sheer measure of sukkah katana shiva, that the chiddush is that the minimum dimensions of a sukkah is 7x7 tefachim. To which Mefarshim asked, wait a minute, but don't we know that already? From like, what's it, Gimel Amud Aleph or something? So the Mefarshim try to figure out exactly that. We're talking about, you know, what's the chiddush here? Maybe because I thought it was conclusive and maybe it was not so clear from the beginning. There's a bit of a discussion as to why that's a better chiddush, why that's not so obvious, but we'll leave that for now. All right, let me pause. Any questions? We're going to go forward to you and sign them out to 17a in just a moment. Start the next Gemara, next Mishnah. Erwin.
Basically, when you look at the word sukkah,
yeah,
you have the 4 is the best, the 3, and then the hay,
right,
is the 2. And
it's like a dreidel almost. You know?
So from that, you know, we already see that in the open space.
Are you saying we have open spaces in the light, in the words of sukkah? I see. In the hay, right? In the hay, you already, right. So we had a discussion, right, when we talked about this a long time ago, when we say the minimum dimensions of a sukkah is 2 walls and a tefach, right? Mashu, so you have or tefach. So where do we put that extra tefach? So do we have to? So according to one of the sheets in the Gemara, we are actually operates off the principle of love. It was actually this very description. You're correct. And that's precisely the question. I thought we talked about this already. That's what exactly. That's what's bothering the Gemara. Hey, we learned this a while ago, right? Okay. All right. Moving on to the next Mishnah. And again, this is where keep love in mind. We'll talk about love in just a moment. But just to reiterate, also, our good friend, the concept of Dofen Akuma, is making a resurgence. Dofen Akuma, just to briefly go over some halachos. If there is an air gap in your skaf, 3 tfachim passels a sukkah of just open air in the sukkah. However, non-kosher skaf, this is the funny thing, non-kosher skaf is better than the absence of skaf altogether. Why? So number one, non-kosher skach takes up to 4 tefachim to passel a sukkah. But that's in the middle of the sukkah. If the non-kosher skach is on the edges of the sukkah, you get up to 4 amos, not including 4 amos, just under 4 amos, and we view the non-kosher skach as an extension of the wall bending over. So you can't really sit under it, I believe. but it means that the actual kosher stock in the middle will be usable. That's what the Mishnah is going to tell us right now. I just thought I would spell it out hopefully clearly outside. Now we'll see it inside. Hirchik es hasichuch min hadefanos shlosha tvachim psula. Okay, there it is. If the schach is distance three tvachim or more from the walls, it is a pasul sukkah, because like we just said, an air gap of three tvachim pasuls the sukkah. Good. Now we're going to give three examples which flesh out the idea of dofen akuma. Bais shenifchas usike chalgabav yishmin akosel sichuch arba amos psula. So we've talked about this case in the past. You should have, or is there a picture of a collapsed in roof? Yeah, is it there? Yeah, I think it is. So if you, for those using an art scroll, you'll see a picture. Basically, imagine the room we're sitting in right now, the ceiling falls in, God willing, when we're not here, and now we have this big gap in the ceiling. So not the entire ceiling, some of the ceiling on the side is still there. So what you basically do is, we say, oh, you know what? It's terrible when it happens, but great timing. It's sukkahs. Let's put schach on top of it and use it as a sukkah. Yeah, Phyllis.
Is that what you found missing in the sukkah here?
Oh, Phyllis is asking, what issues did I find with our sukkah before we hopefully remedied that? I found a number of issues. One is the air gap. Yes, oh, very good. So the issue was the wall on the far side.
Yeah.
If you look, the schach is very distant from the actual wall. So there's an air gap. Much more three tefachim, and no less only on the side of the sukkah. So that wall was not used. Then the other issue was we had those little alcoves, you know, like indentations in the wall of the shul,
yeah.
And a schach doesn't reach there. So that was another issue. So then they put a tarp there.
Yeah, but no one goes.
Yeah, but we need a wall. Yeah. So the tarp, I mean, but we need a wall for the sukkah. Even if you don't go there, we still need something to be called a wall to make a sukkah kosher.
But you have the wall.
So the indentation is not
going. No.
Yes, we had one wall on facing the street, which also
one,
had
and the one and entrance wall
and then the entrance. So that's two, and then we got a little bit from that one. Yeah.
So we can use the walls that has a gap in the top.
Yeah.
As a third, as you know,
could be. Honestly, I had doubts about every wall, but for different reasons. I think I wound up not making a little shape because I was so concerned. But anyway, I'm glad I told you this post fact. All right. But yes, Phyllis, that is correct. That was one of the concerns I had. I had a few concerns. All right. Next. Bias. So the collapse in wall. So if the actual, if there's still some ceiling remaining and it goes up to and certainly over four amos, then it's a pasul sukkah. The chayin chatzar shimu kevis sadra, or if you have a basically these overhangs. Let's say you're in a courtyard. So the way the courtyard is, one wall, and then you have two walls, and then you have this overhang, like what do you call it?
Awning.
Awning. Thank you. You have this awning that's sticking out. So and then you put the schach over the awning, and then certainly over the air gap. So again, it depends. How far does the awning extend out? If it's less than four amos, we're good. If not, then it's pasul. Likewise, sukkah gedola she kufa bedavar she'im esachem bo yishtag levar ba'amos psula. So let's say you have 100% kosher schach, but then you put like a blanket or something over some of that schach. So if the blanket covers four amos or more, then that schach under it is invalidated. It's no use to us, and then you don't have a kosher sukkah. Basically, this all drives home the point of the concept of dofen akuma, that when it is less than four amos, then it's an extension of the wall, and the sukkah can be kosher. But the Gemara now asks, Kohani Lamali. Okay, I get it. There's something called dofen akuma. Why do I need three different examples to state the same point? Right, we have imaginations. We can think of different cases. The Mishnah is known to be succinct, so why did it give us three examples? So here we go. Sricha, the iash mina bais shenifchas mishum dahani mechitz bais avidan alachotzer mukevis asadra the mechitz lavan sadra avidi ema lows. Therefore, it's sricha. So what's going on here? So I would think the walls of the house, so they're actually made for the house, and the ceiling is just an extension of the house. So it's very reasonable to actually view the ceiling as an extension of the wall. But to think of the awning, which is like a separate unit, which is not really part of the house, which is the walls, to view the awning as an extension of the wall itself, like even just eyeballing it, it doesn't look like an extension of the wall. Nonetheless, the chiddush of the Mishnah is that it counts for dofen akuma to make a kosher sukkah nonetheless. Finally, the iash me'in and hanitarti, if we only taught the first two cases, but not the final case, of covering the kosher stock but not kosher stock. Mishum the sukkah and stock kosher him. I was sukkah gedolah she kufa but davarish ema sakim but sukkah stock kosher him. Ema lo tzricha. So I would think, you know, the achsadra could be made out of wood. The houses, you know, we're looking at arshul here, but the houses could be made out of wood. So in the first two cases of the Mishnah, for all we know, the material is inherently kosher for stock. It was just an issue of tasa v'lomina asoi. When it was made, it wasn't made for the sake of working as a sukkah. So therefore, it's tassel menasai. But the material is inherently kosher. So that's why we need a third case in the Mishnah to teach me that even non-kosher skach can still work for dofen akuma. Very briefly, let me just share with you a ritva, and then I'll let you go. The ritva asks the following question. It's two questions, but we'll just do one for now. The Ritva asks, what is the Havamina? Right? So the Gemara had to go out of its way to give, the Mishnah had to go out of its way to give us a third example of covering the kosher schach with non-kosher schach to teach me that even when the schach is non-kosher. The motion sensor's not working over here. Light switch is right over there, actually. Oh, thank you. You just got to flip the switch up. But if you flip the switch, okay, fine. So you just have to move. And yeah, more people will be moving around, so you'll be good for the event. Okay, so the Ritva asked, I still don't get the Havamina. What's the Havamina that hustle stock would not work for a sukkah, right? What's the, you know, the whole idea is that it's an extension of the wall. A wall could be made out of virtually anything. So what's the Havamina that I would not be able to use puzzle skach? If the whole point is that it's an extension of the wall, which is puzzle for skach in all likelihood. So answers the Ritva as follows. Venerally, the hachi kamen. The dilma havasaka daita, I would have thought, the skach puzzle log miri be dofen akuma. Why would skach puzzle not be able to be used for dofen akuma? The kaven she'eno min hasuka klal. Because it is puzzle, it's not associated with the sukkah at all, and therefore it's mafsik b'chotze tu ma'od. It would be like a chatzitza. Because it's puzzle for schach, maybe I would think, it's a havamina, that it would be chotze. It would be interposing, it's interrupting between the schach and the wall. Maybe it'd be a strike against us because it's puzzle. Aval kesha schach, schach pasher, but I would say that maybe when the sukkah, welcome, maybe when you're using inherently kosher schach, the schach is inherently kosher. It could be used for the sukkah, but it's just put down with the wrong intention. We have tassav lamina asoy. It wasn't put down, the shame sale wasn't done for the sake of the sukkah. So I would say, but since it's inherently kosher material, of course, it would work for dofen akuma. So roi lahashira alidi dofen akuma. So kamash malan, that's what the Gemara is coming to dispel. Da'afilu b'schach pasarmin la the hachi garmina. Even though there's a reasonable basis for me to think that non-kosher schach cannot be used as an extension wall for dofen akuma, comes along the Gemara and tells me, nonetheless, non-kosher schach be used for dofen akuma. So Phil, to your question about the shul sukkah, our other solution for the wall on the far side, Rabbi Cohen and I were talking, was maybe put a tarp over it to connect it to the wall, and the tarp would work as dofen akuma to connect it, and just don't sit under the tarp. Well, that was kind of why we didn't go for it, because people would get the wrong idea, people would eat under it, so that's okay. Right, so that's the issue. I said we'd use it as a learning moment, but people would be outside when we announced it, so it would be an issue. All right, shkayak everyone on the phone, good learning together, and good night.
Thank you. Bye.